Welcome to the Continuous Delivery Podcast. My name is Chaba.
I'm Hino.
I'm Cheesy.
And I'm Stacy.
For today, we were chatting before we started recording, and we thought that we would like to go back a little bit to the basics, to the beginnings. One of the questions that came up is, what is actually the purpose of continuous delivery? Why would we want to do this in the first place?
My view is that continuous delivery is an enabler for lean startup. Or in other words, it allows us to rapidly deliver small pieces of functionality to try to know and understand how our customers react to those changes. So I think it really is product focused from my perspective. In a couple of conferences I've spoken at recently, I've made the statement that, you know, most likely it should be driven from the business. And I got a lot of pushback about that. But I strongly believe that it really is something that you use to help drive world-class products, to make sure that we deliver the right thing, to make sure we don't spend time delivering something that's not the ideal product.
Yeah, I totally agree. It should be driven by the business, not just continuous delivery, but any time that you are considering of applying some of the agile practices, I think it should be driven by the business. It should be driven by the focus, by the product. So, Cheesy, what you said, it's to enable lean startup, and I totally agree with that. But I kind of want to dive a tiny bit deeper. And for me, it's actually to enable learning even faster. And that is learning about how your customers respond to your product, but also learning how you drive a change all the way from inception, basically, from where you come up with the idea to putting it into production, to putting it in front of your users. It's also about learning how you communicate with other teams, where your obstacles are in the process, in order to allow you to go faster afterwards. Continuous delivery basically allows you to have a single process that rules them all.
You know, times when I've been involved in delivery, and you know, it's funny how much customers can surprise you. You know, gee, I thought this thing was going to be the thing we needed, and then I was greatly humbled by what actually happened post-delivery, and how many times I was sitting in that situation where, I wonder what we could have done smaller to learn something faster. And that really is what propelled me into the whole notion of this stuff. Well, that, and there's some great material that can get you excited about it.
In your experience, was there any situation where continuous delivery went wrong?
I wouldn't say that continuous delivery itself went wrong. I have seen companies, groups, product teams that try to go down this path, but their whole reason for going down this path is something like having better audits in place or having better control, centralized control, or things like cost cutting. So in other words, they're going after something that might come out of as a side effect of continuous delivery, but the fact that they made it their central focus in some ways causes them not to achieve it. And I think it's largely because they don't bring all the right people along. So in other words, if your goal is to be able to centralize control and audit, so you create a centralized DevOps team that imposes some restrictions on everybody, guess what? You forgot to bring along the product people. You forgot to actually bring along the developers in that case as well. So the times that I've seen it go wrong were times whenever we didn't have the right people in the driver's seat. And so the company who was trying to do this didn't really understand it that well.
It's really one of those examples of losing focus, losing track of what really is important. The example that you gave, Cheesy, the team might have started off well, might have started with the right intentions, but then suddenly everything, all the focus shifted towards towards that audit or supporting that audit in a certain way. And this is, to me, the typical thing that goes wrong, that the focus of why are we doing this in the first place is lost, and it becomes almost like a compliance thing, almost like we are doing continuous delivery for the sake of continuous delivery. And then it's really all again about how can we go as fast as we possibly can, and we forget about the learnings, we forget about the feedback that we can get from our users and the influence that it might have on future decisions. This is really how I see it going wrong.
Yeah, I really like the way you described that, because you know, in my experience, I've been sitting with developers in the trenches, and each sort of group of folks has their own concerns, for example. And if they do, then that's what they're looking out for. And to achieve the notion of this is you have to have that system-wide view. You have to understand that, yeah, I can spin the tests on the pipeline faster, but how does that help us ship product better or more regularly or in smaller increments or things like that? And so by focusing on a specialty, you sort of lose track. You lose that wide vision of how this affects the things around you. And so when that happens, you kind of lose the whole notion of it.
As I was listening to you guys about the purpose, I always think of continuous delivery as a journey, and this is a long and treacherous journey. Let's take an organization; they do deployment every month, every couple of months, some of them even less times. And by the time they get to, let's say, daily deployments or continuous delivery, a lot happens in the organization. How do we keep motivated? The players, the people involved throughout this treacherous process? And when I ask motivation, I talk about, you guys mentioned the product. I could talk about developers, the leadership. So any suggestions, any ideas here?
I don't think it's treacherous, right? That's the first thing. I think that there's obstacles along the way that you hit, but you're only hitting those obstacles because you resolved something that was more important and that was bigger, a bigger issue than the one that you're hitting right now. So in order to stay motivated, I think you always have to go back to the science behind motivation. I like to refer to Drive, the book by Daniel Pink, about this. Where it's really all about where people have autonomy, where people have a purpose, and where people feel like they can improve. And if you go and look at the product people and you ask them, what is it really that you want to do? Then oftentimes what they want to do is they want to solve those problems for their end users. They want to get those features out of the door. They want to put those in the hands of their users and make sure that they can use them, make sure that they get value from them. If you ask that to developers, and they want to code, they want to see whatever they produce be useful and be used by the end user. They want to solve difficult problems. So all of the other stuff around it is oftentimes just discouraging, is stuff that we have to get through in order to do what we do best, in order to do what we like most. And that's really where I believe the motivation can come from. And that is by pointing out that the more we get to real continuous delivery, the more we reduce the effort that we need to spend on all of that process stuff, the more we reduce the effort that we need to spend on writing these things down in documentation, and instead going directly to the end user, talking to them, seeing what they need, and putting our code into production as fast as we can. That should be a motivation all by itself, because then we can focus on the things that we love, which is solving those problems, which is putting those features in the hands of the end users, which is name anything that other people in the process might want to do as well.
Yeah, just bolt on to what Hino said there, in addition to how fast we're able to put it in the hands of users, but at such low risk. So in other words, I don't want to gloss over the fact that continuous delivery is a much lower risk way of delivering software than the traditional methods.
What is the, when this journey starts, in your experience, what are the first moments, the most critical moments when sometimes people can get discouraged and lose that purpose, lose that sight of why are we doing this in the first place?
For a lot of people, running into roadblocks that seem insurmountable is a huge demotivator, I guess. And so in a lot of places where management hasn't bought off fully on it or don't fully understand it and therefore are not in a position to get out in front of potential roadblocks and help knock those down, and where you see teams that know and understand the right thing and want to do the right thing, but they just run into a lot of organizational constraints or difficulties, that totally demotivates them. I've seen that be one of those things.
One of the things that I've seen is when sometimes we have organizations have a limited kind of view of what, you know, I keep talking from a developer's perspective, right? Like what's a developer about? And you know, sometimes I see folks have a hard time kind of building empathy for the customer all the way through to the developer. So, you know, product information kind of stops at a set of folks that are used to managing it, and they're not withholding information from folks, but they just don't really understand how it can become useful to other groups. So for example, to the developers to understand the goals of a particular product feature or something like that. And when folks do, what you end up getting is something that's a little bit more than the sum of its parts, which is, I think, a thing that we seek. Your work in defining product and your work in building the software that is the product become intertwined in such a way that it doesn't take you, you know, two times the effort to come up with that product.
Cheesy mentioned earlier the role of the leadership. How critical is the leadership role in keeping the purpose in sight, especially at the beginning? And what would you do to make sure that this initial spark is kept on?
Without somebody who's actually driving that continuous delivery, that without somebody who has that vision, that view, that kind of North Star, if you will, to continuously push the boundaries of what you're capable of doing, you get the risk of falling, falling in some kind of a static. Hey, we're good enough. We can do it. We deliver on our expectations, on our customers' expectations. We deliver on our deadlines. All those kinds of things. You're not going to really improve anymore. It's always good for somebody in a leadership position to be able to set that boundary, to set that target just that tiny bit further. I believe it's Toyota. I'm not entirely certain anymore, but I believe it's Toyota that every year or so they ask to improve, or at least it was for a while, to improve like 5% or so. And then after a couple of years, they basically ask their employees to, instead of just a 5% that usually is possible by just cutting out a little bit of waste or by just working a tiny bit smarter, they're asking them to increase production or increase productivity by about 15%. And they can't do that. They can't do that by staying a little bit later. They can't do that by reducing the waste a tiny bit more. They really need to be critical and rethink their process and challenge everything that they know. And it's that kind of drive. And I'm not saying that you need to follow Toyota practices, but it's that kind of drive that you need. It's that kind of push that you need in order to get people motivated and to not forget that it's about continuous improvement. It's not good enough to have a pipeline that is fully automated. There is still stuff that we can improve on. There is still stuff that allows us to get better insight from our customers, that allows us to work with those insights and build and deliver better products.
Whenever we're talking about continuous delivery or introducing it to an organization, we are usually talking about very significant change. You know, change that is going to take a very long time to work through, changes to the way people work, most likely, almost always organizational change, change around the way the organization views risk, change in so many areas. And so a company that's going down that path is going to need leadership to be on board and is going to need leadership to know and understand the types of changes that really are coming so that they can kind of be in the driver's seat, if you will, or be that servant leader to move those roadblocks out of the way, to continue to communicate across the organization and to continue to share that vision. And if you don't have that in place, I fear that it's going to be too much. If you don't have that in place, it's just going to become too much change, too many issues that are you're unable to overcome. So for organizations that are already doing this, maybe it's not quite as critical, to be honest, because from that perspective, the organization is pretty much on autopilot, you know, already making the types of progress. Already deploying, they've worked through all of those changes already, and in that setting, maybe more of a traditional servant leader might be good. And I don't know that they necessarily need to understand all of the facets of continuous delivery, but I think organizations that are going down this journey, I think it's really critical that leader know, understand, support, become the evangelist, and become the driver of that effort.
From a leadership perspective, the clarity of goals is really the in my mind kind of the really important thing there, because a lot of this stuff is such a cultural shift, and the ways of change are going to be so deep. You know, it's. You know, if you view leadership as, you know, those who tell us what to do, you're going to have a hard time. If you view leadership as the folks that help us understand where we're going, what our goals are, you open up the ability to folks to be able to make better decisions through the organization to help align to that goal. And so I think of leaders, but I also think of influencers in the organization who around has experienced this before. Who are your allies that you can work with that might be perhaps not a manager or someone that in a position of authoritative leadership, but someone who folks listen to, and that they could be cultural influencers within the organization can really help to have everybody brought along.
Hino, Cheesy, Stacy, thank you very much. And this concludes today's Continuous Delivery Podcast.